on May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere. This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Hey, listener. Are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Oh, welcome to Brother from Another. Michael Smith is not here. But if Michael Smith is not going to be here, I'm going to tell you, I couldn't be happier. Doing the show with Tarika Foster Brasby. It's been a long time. It's been a minute or two. Tarika, good to see you. How you doing?
I'm doing well. It has been a long time. I was starting to think you didn't love me anymore.
Oh, listen. You don't have to. You never have to think that. And if you have those thoughts, I think we need to communicate, because communication is the foundation of any strong relationship. You know, don't start whispering. Don't start gossiping. Just come to me, and I will
come and tell you.
I'll settle it quickly. Now, I was thinking about you over the weekend, though. It really was. I told you this earlier, but I did think about you over the weekend, because as a sports fan, if you're a sports fan of a team, I don't care what team you read, if you are down for that team, you remember moments. And people are like, how do you remember that? Your memory is so great. No. My memory is not great. It's just that I am overly invested in this team. I think about this team more than I think about the grown-up things that I should be thinking about. For example, I'll tell you this, Tarika. Growing up in Akron, Ohio, 30 miles from Cleveland, I remember exactly where I was when Michael Jordan hit the shot. Michael Jordan hit the shot over the Cavaliers, over Craig Elo. I remember exactly where I was. I was not in the building. I had a job. I was working at Giant Eagle grocery store. I was a bagger. Ooh, my bagging game was nice. I was a bagger and a cashier. So I was on register one, the express lane, and I was on the phone because my boss was upstairs watching the game, and he was telling me as I was bagging somebody, he's like, he was giving me the play-by-play. He was not a broadcaster. He was giving me the play-by-play. Jordan gets it. Oh, they got him. They got him doubled. He shoots it. Game over. I was like, damn.
You will never... You will never forget those moments. You will never forget those moments.
Never. So, I mean, I remember where I was. Giant Eagle grocery store. Akron, Ohio, 1989. Okay. So you tell me, as an Indianapolis Colts fan, in 2019, when you heard that Andrew Luck was retiring from football.
Yeah.
And people started to hear about it as he walked off the field of a preseason game, like, Andrew Luck is done. Where were you and what were your thoughts at that time in 2019?
So let me tell you something funny about this, right? August 25th, because that was the day, because I remember the day, okay? August 25th was the day that Andrew Luck retired. And August 25th is a very significant day for someone like me, because it was the day of heartbreak for not one of my fandom, but for two, because August 25th is also the day that the world lost Michael Jackson. So I was already grieving. Ooh. I was already in my Ooh. Feeling.
Ooh.
But here we are again in August 25th. And once again, I am sitting here saying to myself, we can't possibly be witnessing this man 30 years old with so much life left, so much time in his prime, literally getting ready to tell me that he is no longer going to play football anymore. I was sitting at home. I was actually watching the press conference because I'm such a nerd and such a fan that I'm watching the press conference for no good reason. I'm not covering it. I don't have to be here, but I wanted to be here because I'm watching every Indianapolis press conference. And this is what I hear. And my heart drops. It falls completely out of my chest. And here I am thinking, at some point, he's going to come back. At some point, he's going to return. He's going to miss it.
He'll be back. Of course he'll be back. He still loves me. I know he loves me. He's coming back.
I mean, I feel like a girlfriend that's just depressed and waiting for this man to return to her who's never going to return to her. But here's the thing, though. The more that time has passed, the happier I am that Andrew Luck has decided he don't want to play the sport no more.
See,
for a myriad of reasons. Yeah, it's for a myriad of reasons. One, the game is changing completely. I mean, every time we turn around, there's some new rule being added. There's some new, all in the essence of safety, so we say. So the game is changing, number one. Number two, I still do not trust Jim Irsay. I don't trust him enough to say, you know, you would have done or he would have done things differently. Now, granted, I think the general manager, Chris Ballard, would have done some things differently. I think that he sees the team and views the construction of the team differently. But I am not entirely sure that Jim Irsay, who gets in his own way, not as far as Jerry Jones, but they in the same conversation, gets in his own way enough to where the injuries, the reasons, the rationale behind Andrew Luck saying, I don't want to play this game anymore, I don't think that changes. As a matter of fact, after that, we didn't really see the offensive line start to improve or any of that until at least 2021. So with all of that being said, I'm mad at you no more, Andrew. Like, I get it. You didn't need football from the beginning. You got a Stanford degree in architecture. You've got a master's. You didn't need football. But if your love for it is still there, go coach, which he already is. But he ain't got to come back. The NFL does not deserve you.
Well, you know what? But you know what? That's an evolved position you're in. You're in an evolved position. Because I can imagine, as somebody who doesn't root for a team, logic takes over. You can look at it. You can look at it coolly. You can look at it soberly. Okay, hey, the man's playing football. He's 30 years old. It's a brutal sport. And if he wants to do something else with his life and utilize his education, good for him. That's what people who are not fans of a team will say. That's what I said about Andrew Luck. And somebody who's not really a fan of the Colts, I was actually happy. I was actually happy because y'all, yeah, that's right. I'm saying it. Okay, gloves are off. You have been on a bit of a quarterback odyssey, absent of Andrew Luck. You had Jacoby Brissett. You had Carson Wentz.
Don't remind me. Matt Ryan.
Yeah, Matt Ryan. How about that? Matt Ryan.
I think what's interesting of all those quarterbacks you name is that the most success that we had with any of them came between Philip Rivers and Gardner Minshew.
I forgot about that Philip Rivers.
That speaks volumes to the kind of seasons that we've had and more so why Andrew Luck don't need to come back.
Well, let me ask you this. Okay, and I wonder, let's say Andrew Luck did come back, but he didn't come back to the field. First time in 5 years, public appearance in Indianapolis. Here's what he had to say, and I just want to get your take on what he said over the weekend. Here's Andrew Luck.
I think when I retired, that part of it was put to bed in my mind in a very simple sort of direct. There was a lot of complications around it, you know, certainly tormented inside, you know, and as you guys saw, you know, that night. But I think that part of it has stayed. Football gave me a lot. Most importantly, again, the relationships and the experiences with people that I loved, like Chuck. I mean, I think part of me feels, and I don't mean this in a cheesy way, but part of me feels like, you know, it's my turn to give back into this game, and this is what feels right at this moment.
You know, he looks like a guy who used to play football. I mean, like, he's got the look. He sounds good. He looks good. We know he can still play, but we're moving on from that. What did you think of that public appearance? Just the appearance itself, not necessarily, Tarika, what he said, but the fact that it took him a while to go back to Indianapolis and give a press conference like that in the first place.
I actually applaud this. I think that, you know, Andrew Luck has meant a lot to the city of Indianapolis, meant a lot to Colts fans, and clearly meant a lot to that organization. They still, you know, for a while, still paying that man's salary, right? Because he still had money on the books. And so I say all that to say, I know, right? You're still getting paid. And that is probably helpful, too, when you're deciding that you don't need to come back because you still got a check coming in every day. But I think ultimately, one, his relationship with Chuck Pagano would far outweigh any reservations that he would have had about returning to the city of Indianapolis. And again, the city still loves him, still adores him. And for the lack of better terms, most Colts fans that I know and in my circle have gotten over it and more so understands why he made the decision that he made. The man went through multiple surgeries and he was only like in his 20s at the time. The man's 34 years old now. Like
34.
You got 40-year-old Tom Brady still talking about he could possibly still play. So at the end of the day, we all know Luck could probably still toss the rock if he wanted to. But I respect the fact that he is firm on his decision, that he is clearly enjoying life outside of football, and that he still says that he wants to give back in whatever way that is. I would love to see Andrew Luck on the sideline coaching, maybe as a quarterback's coach or something at some point in the league. That'd be great.
Tarika, I don't know what you have planned, but I think you're pretty good. You should probably consider doing media. I think you're pretty good at it because you just mentioned Tom Brady. And that's where I want to go next. That's funny. You mentioned Tom Brady, and he will be 47. He will be 47 years old in August. And he's still talking about playing football. He'll be 47, I said. And Tom Brady, with the when the subject of playing again comes up, when you're 47, 46, going on 47 very soon, most people say, oh, I had a great career, especially if you won 7 Super Bowls, especially if you consider the GOAT. Hey, that was great. I'm going to the next chapter. You got a huge contract waiting for you at Fox. You're kicking Greg Olsen out of that job. He's going to be demoted from number one to number two, kicking him out. You got a ownership deal with the Raiders on the table. NFL owners are allowing you to do that. So you got a little ownership with the Raiders. You got a big contract with Fox. You should say you're done with football. But this is what Tom Brady had to say when that subject came up.
We get it. You're 100% retired.
Yes.
Let's say one day there's a situation, right? Maybe it's the 49ers. Maybe, you know, heading to the playoffs. Offense is great.
Patriots.
Somebody.
Raiders. Look, could be. You never know.
God forbid somebody goes down. Would you pick up that phone?
I'm not opposed to it. If they would, I don't know if they're going to let me if I become an owner in an NFL team, but I don't know if, I don't know. I'm always going to be in good shape. I'll always be able to throw the ball. So to come in for a little bit, like MJ coming back, I don't know if they let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Okay, I don't know what they tell you. Look at you.
You know, listen, I am the biggest Tom Brady
what
hater,
is
so this is what just is fuel. This is just fuel.
What's that? What's that? What's all this pushback? What is this? What's this look on your face?
Sit down, Tom. Like, sit down. What else do you have to prove in this game? Like, you just mentioned all of his accolades. You also just mentioned all of the things that he's lined up for him right now in this moment. I think Greg Olsen, by the way, is an incredible commentator, and it is going to be unfair.
I like him.
yeah, it's going to be unfair to see him have to demote himself to the second string of the B team because of Tom Brady. And he's still, man, you have lost a relationship over football. And you still want to play? This is like drugs at this point. The man needs help. Please sit down, Tom. Sit down.
But see, Tarika, first of all, let's just go back to journalistically. Vic Blend. So everything they told you about interviewing, hey, you know, you want to get somebody to open up. No, Vic Blend just threw it out there. It wasn't a perfectly phrased question. It wasn't a trick question. You know, Blends is there. You know, Brady's sitting there in the chair. Blends is like, hey, you know, let's say somebody calls you. Brady's like, I'm so glad you asked. Matter of fact, he may have fed my guy Vic Blends that question. Now, listen, before I tell you to take something off the sides, I need you to ask me about football. Coming back, I want to put this out there. It will make your, trust me, it will make your podcast, your Deep Cuts podcast. But I disagree with you. I don't think Tom Brady should sit down. Look, there are certain things people are like, you know, I think being well-rounded in a lot of ways is overrated. Being well-rounded, being interested in a lot of things. I'm telling you what, I'm not well-rounded. I'm not interested in a lot of things. I'm going to be one of those guys, Tarika. I'm going to be 99 years old. Like, several networks will have moved on from me. They would have said, okay, stop. You don't make sense. They say that now. You don't make sense. It's time for a new generation to come in. You've had a great career. Can you do something? I'm like, no. Give me a mic. Where's my mic? Where's the red light? I will not. Like, you're going to have to drag me away from this thing because I love it. I've always wanted to do it. I love doing it. So if you're Tom Brady right now, where would you rank him? Okay, if you're ranking your top 10, 12 quarterbacks, wouldn't you rank him right now as one of your top 12 quarterbacks in football?
Okay, if we're being unbiased, Tarika would absolutely have him in the top 10, for sure. I mean, skill-wise, level-wise, absolutely, he'd be in the top 10. But everything that you just mentioned is precisely why he needs to sit down. It's a new generation of football. There are new up-and-coming stars who were in the game while he was playing and have now gone on to take the number one spot now that he's not. Tom Brady has nothing left to prove. And we want to talk about legacies. Let's talk about how you can destroy a legacy. Being in a position way too long, doing something far past your time, can help to bring down your legacy as quickly as it was there to be built. And so I would much rather Tom Brady continue to go out on top. You know what I loved about Peyton Manning? Peyton Manning went out on top, besides the fact that he's obviously my favorite quarterback ever. But
he
went
to decline, though.
Out. He went out on top, even though he was starting to decline. Yeah, he did. He retired the year after he won a Super Bowl in Denver.
I know what I'm saying.
That
was the
hardest thing you could have done.
He went out as a champion.
He went out on, that is on top. What else could be considered on top? You went out a Super Bowl champion. The lasting memory that people have in their head about you is that you took two franchises to a Super Bowl and won them, which is the same thing that they could say about Tom Brady. If he sit his ass down, do not continue to come back. Like, do not continue to try to push a narrative. You have nothing left to prove. If you still want to be effective in this game, you're already doing it in a multitude of ways. Ownership, being a part of the broadcast team, being a coach for that matter, whatever. But bruh, stop it. Do not put on a uniform anymore.
Well, listen, Peyton Manning, I remember this. Yeah, I do remember him winning the championship over the Carolina Panthers in the Super Bowl. Yep. Great. But in that season, just mysteriously, and they handled it well, he pretty much was benched for a couple of games in favor of Brock Osweiler. And I remember him throwing more interceptions than touchdowns, if I'm not mistaken. He had a great AFC Championship game, beat Tom Brady and the Patriots. He was great. A couple of early touchdown passes. But it wasn't the same Peyton Manning in 2015. He kind of lost something. Tom Brady, the last time we saw him, in his 3 years with Tampa, they win a championship. They get to the divisional round and another one. And then they lose a playoff game at the crib to the Cowboys. But he's still, you look at the yards, look at the touchdowns, look at the interceptions. And, Tarika, this is why I'm on Tom Brady's side here. Let alone the fact that the house you see behind me, Tom Brady built it for me. Thank you.
Clearly.
I appreciate you. Beyond that, my biases aside, I feel for a guy who didn't want to stop. You're right. The relationship ended because he wouldn't step away from football. But then the flip side is, he didn't want to step away from football. He didn't want to stop playing. I feel like you do what you do until you can't do it anymore. And I'm not going to get into his personal life and what he should have done and like, how could you keep playing? All I'm saying is, it's clear to me, Tom Brady retired, but he didn't want to retire. He retired twice. He didn't want to do it the first time. Clearly didn't want to do it the second time. And if I'm doing an early version of my bets, your money, I got November. I got Thanksgiving. I think you'll see Tom Brady back.
I will say this, and then I've said the same thing about LeBron James. And one thing that I love that he has said is, when I feel like I'm cheating the game, when I feel like I have nothing left to give the game, is when I feel like I'm going to step away. And I don't think it is the sheer ability to play football that should keep you around, but it's the ability to play football at the level that you have become accustomed to and become synonymous with playing. And I think that is a difference with what we talk about when we talk about the great still being able to play. This man has played football the entirety of his life. I'm quite sure at 50 years old, he can still play. I mean, we heard the same things with T.O. Yeah, T.O., you were a great wide receiver. I'm pretty sure you could still play. But at the level and at the caliber, I mean, and if we're keeping it a spade, Tampa Bay didn't look like they missed him that much. I mean, as it relates to being able to consider Tampa Bay being able to make the playoffs with Baker Mayfield. Won a playoff game. Quite literally, Tampa is fine. And that in itself starts to lead to questions because do you need the safety net of Tom Brady, or was Tom Brady utilizing a safety net with Tampa Bay based off their defense, based off some of their line? And again, this is me just playing devil's advocate because I can. But at the same time, I think the point is, can Tom Brady play? I think absolutely he could still play football. But is he still going to be the Tom Brady that we all remember him being? I'm not so sure. And even if an inkling of anyone questions that, that means you should sit down.
Well, he once famously said, "I'll retire when I suck." Now, he said that a long time ago. And he never did. I think he said that about 10 years ago. "I'll retire when I suck." He never really got to the point of sucking.
He never really sucked.
And so if that's your standard, that's a way to keep the gig going, isn't it? Well, you know, when will I retire? When I suck. I know I never will. So he wants to be ageless. He wants to play forever. And you imagine, you mentioned Greg Olsen. I think he's good too. You imagine Greg Olsen saying, "Damn, I'm not trying to come back. I'm not trying to go back to football. I'm not trying to play tight end anymore. I'm invested in this position. I'm trying to be the best analyst I can. And the guy who replaced me not only still wants to play football, he wants to own a team. I just want to be a broadcaster for Fox and I still get demoted. Damn.
That's crazy.
Can I get a break?"
That's crazy.
Speaking of a break, Gary, I told you I wasn't going to take a break. But you know what? Let's take a break. Let's take a break right now. And we'll talk about our next thing. We'll talk about a team that had everything lined up at the end of the season. NBA team had everything lined up at the end of the season. And then it didn't work out. It didn't work out. And they got called out. They got called out, surprise, surprise, by their head coach. Hey, their head coach calls him. He'll call you out now. That's what I like about Michael Malone.
Me too.
He means what he's.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, "Hey, we came to play"? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. because we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Says and says what he means. All right, so Tarika, you know, fact checkers are everywhere. They're everywhere. So we were having our conversation about Andrew Luck and the day he retired, August 25th. And you said you remember it because it's the day that Michael Jackson died.
Yeah.
However, what?
Yes. Michael Jackson actually died June 25th, but I was actually thinking about how we were thinking about Michael Jackson's birthday, which is August 29th. So we were all in the same ballpark. But I do remember specifically where I was and what I was doing when Michael Jackson died on June 25th. So slip of the month, but same vein. Like, my heart was in the same place. Don't y'all come for me on social media. Act like I don't know what I'm talking about.
They won't. Oh, you know they will. You know they will. But that just, but it's revenue. They come at us for everything.
Every
just had
day.
To clean that up. All right. So, hey, listen, we called ourselves out. Michael Malone, coach of the Nuggets, called out his own team because they had an opportunity. The defending NBA champs had an opportunity to secure the number one seed in the Western Conference. Didn't do it. Michael Malone, not happy about it.
Yeah, it's disappointing. I mean, really disappointing. We control their own destiny, and what we accomplished on Wednesday night, we just gave it right back. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's easy to get up for Minnesota. You know what I mean? Like, our guys were locked in. They were focused. They were serious. And I don't think we had the same approach for tonight's game. But, you know, you had a chance to get the one seed, and now obviously we'll likely be the three seed.
Michael Malone said likely the three seed, actually two. So the Denver Nuggets are the two seed. Oklahoma City, the youngest number one seed since the NBA has been keeping these stats, started in 1984, the youngest number one seed. Their average age is about 24 years old. Their best player, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, is 25.
Yeah,
and so they have the number one seed. All the, you know, they got the same record as the Nuggets, but they went on tiebreakers, and you see right one game behind the Minnesota Timberwolves, three seed at 56-26. But before we get into the dynamics of the NBA playoffs and the play-in, what'd you think about what Michael Malone said and the Nuggets kind of blowing that opportunity to control the Western Conference playoffs?
Well, I think he knew it. Right. Like, I think anybody and everybody knew it. The West at the top had been very close for a long time, which is something that we haven't been able to say in a while as it relates to top placement in that conference. So I think he knew that the opportunity was squandered. It was so close. And at the end of the day, Oklahoma City had the tiebreaker. And that's kind of where we are. I don't think, however, it will matter much considering that Denver's going to face whoever wins between the Lakers and Pelicans series. So I don't think it's going to matter much that they didn't claim the one seed. They are the defending champions. But I think Mike Malone did what he needed to do, which is to rile his team up. I mean, eventually they ended up winning the final game on Sunday against Memphis. But you needed to put some fire up under your boys. You need to remind them, just because you are the defending champion, at any time, specifically given during the playoffs, you can get bust. You, like, it can happen. Stranger right. things have happened. So I appreciate Mike Malone doing that. I appreciate any coach, to be honest, not necessarily pointing out players specifically, but calling out a team and saying, we didn't play well. We lost an opportunity, and we are going to have to figure out how to live with what it is that the consequences of those decisions are because we didn't play well. So I was here for it.
He's one of my favorite coaches. He really is. I mean, I love the way he understands his team. He understands the way they need to play. He understands what they need to hear. And he's been doing this. I mean, this is just who he is. He was brought up in the game. His father, Brendan Malone, is one of the great assistant coaches in NBA history. He really is. And so he's been around basketball his entire life. So I think players just understand him. He understands players, and he will back off when he needs to back off. But when he needs to jump in, he has no problem getting in there. And I think he understands too, Tarika, look, one of the best things about being an NBA champion is that, okay, you're the defending champ. You know we can do it. If we're down 3-1, I know we can come back. If we're down 3-2, I know we can come back. We've made the plays. We've been in tough situations, and we prevailed. But that's also the weakness of being an NBA champion. You just kind of think, oh, we got it. And sometimes you're like, no, you ain't got it. You need to wake up a little bit. You need to bring a little bit more fire. Because I'm telling you, Gary, bring up those standings again in the Western Conference. My goodness. Okay, if you look at the Western Conference, I'm just getting tired. I'm not even at six yet. Look at those teams. Okay, but you don't have a 60-win team. You probably can't have a 60-win team out there.
I like this. I like this, though. I like way that this has ended up lining up because, for one, and I know we'll probably get into this momentarily, but for one, the first thing I go, my eyes immediately go to the play-in, and it immediately goes to the Lakers. And it immediately goes there because a week ago, we were like, bro, these dudes, they're not even going to be in the conversation. And somehow they managed to get the 8th seed to still be a part of this conversation. So that's number one. But the other thing that I noticed is that Oklahoma City has managed to do what they needed to do, which is not only claim the number one seed, but they have managed to avoid needing to play Denver for at least the first two rounds. And then if they do end up having to play Denver, at least they know that the home court advantage is going to be on their side. So this young team that has no playoff experience that will be facing potentially against the defending champions with all the playoffs experience has everything in their favor. And I love that. And when you add to the fact that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Nikola Jokic are the two that are leading for the MVP conversation, I feel like that adds an additional set of an oomph in a playoff series that I just know we're going to want to see. I am rooting for OKC to continue to make it to the Western Conference Finals because I want to see this team be successful. I want to see Chet Holmgren say, y'all been talking about Wimby all season. Like, I'm not a serious Rookie of the Year contender out here. I want to see it. I'm rooting for OKC.
Yeah, and you know, it's a good, for another day, it's a good team building conversation too because when Kawhi Leonard went to the Clippers and brought along Paul George and, you know, the throw-in, I don't want to say it was a throw-in. I mean, OKC knew that it was getting a really, really good prospect in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Good prospect. Nobody knew he was an MVP at that time, but, you know, a lot of respect for him. They get a good prospect. They get a ton of draft picks. And so it was really this conversation of, do you go with winning right now with Kawhi and Paul George, or do you go with the long haul, which is what Sam Presti and OKC did. And right now, the long haul is the number one seed. Win right now is the number four seed. And they both have an equal number of championships, zero.
Here's the thing.
Who's going to win that championship first?
Well, let me ask you this. Do we even consider it a long haul? Because that was just 2 years ago.
It was quick. It was a quick turnaround.
That's not even a long call for me. Like, that is the prime example of what it means to be patient and to build and trust your young guys. Because 2 years to be the number one seed, many people ain't able.
Yeah, that's right. Now, you talk about the play-in. OKC is not in the play-in. They've gone from, you know, a couple years ago, they won 24 games. Now they got 57 victories, number one seed in the West. Okay, as you said, quick turnaround. Play-in tournament. Look, the in-season tournament, I think it's the worst idea the NBA's had. I'm just not here for it. Like, in-season tournament, it just doesn't get me going. I'm not excited for it. Okay, whatever. You get your little, and the Lakers, you know, they got their little in-season tournament banner. Like, I don't care. I don't, it was in October. I don't even remember what it was. We talked earlier about dates we remember. I don't remember the date. I don't remember where I was when I saw the Lakers win the in-season tournament. I don't know. Was I at home? Was I at work? Was I at the bar? I don't know. I don't care. But
that's so funny.
This play-in tournament, I think, is brilliant. I think it's the best idea the NBA has had in a long time. You look at Eastern Conference, Western Conference. Tomorrow night, you got the Lakers, Pelicans. You got the Warriors and the Kings, which is a rematch of last year's first round, which went to Game 7, where Steph says, hey, if y'all ain't ready to come, get off the bus. Get off the bus. And he carries them in a round one. And then on Wednesday, you got Heat Sixers. And then, okay, Hawks Bulls. I'm not excited about that. I can't front. That's not exciting. but those other three games, Tarika, this is a great idea. You on board with the play-in?
Oh, I'm definitely on board with the play-in. And, you know, for those who don't know how the play-in works, if you win the 7 and 8 seed, you win, you're the 7 seed, you're good. If you're the 8 seed, you got to play the winner between the 9 and 10, play the winner between the 9 and 10 seed in order to determine who's going to get the 8 spot. So I love the fact that it allows additional teams who not always are deserving of those 9 and 10 seeds. Because sometimes end of the year semantics can really be the difference between an 8 seed and a 9 seed. It could be, you know, last game of the season or last two games of the season. Maybe you drop one or drop two, and the next thing you know, you're out of the playoffs. So I love the implementation of this. It gives us more basketball. I disagree with your point on the in-season tournament. I actually enjoyed the in-season tournament because it gave me a reason to care about games that I really didn't care about. Now, I still don't know why in the hell they decided to hang a banner. And of all organizations, the Lakers, y'all are disrespectful. Yeah. How dare you hang a banner for a tournament that don't nobody even know if they like it? But the idea of the tournament itself, I'm not upset about, but I really enjoy this play-in. I love it. And I love the fact that the teams who are in it now are teams that people care about. The Lakers have a fan base that is going to root for them no matter what. And that is what will continue to make the play-in exciting. The Warriors, even though I'm still on the train that the Warriors fan base just existed 10 years ago, I never saw them before then, but they are loud and proud and strong. They're loud and proud and strong. I never seen a Warriors fan before 2014, where y'all came from. Ooh. But at the end of the day, they are loud and
proud. They're coming for you on that one too.
They can come for me on that one because I'm going to ask them, when did they become a Warriors fan? And if it is any time after Steph Curry joined the team, they are making my point for me.
And you're going to get a bunch of them. You'll get a bunch of them of the try. Now we're going to get to doing too much tryhards. Oh, yeah, I was here for Run TMC. Yeah, I remember that. Oh, yeah.
I remember when Monte Ellis was. Yeah.
Oh, like, yeah. We don't need the credentials. Okay, I got it.
You good. Like, I don't even care about your fandom. I'm just simply saying your fan base is loud and strong. And those are the kinds of fan bases that you need in this type of environment, in this play, to help not only continue to bring eyes on this, but to continue to make this the brilliant idea that you say that it is and that I believe that it is. So I love that. The 76ers is another team. These are historic teams that we don't typically see this far down in seeding. And so to see these teams be the ones that really have to, quote unquote, fight for their positioning, I feel like that is what the NBA needed. This season has been really good for some reason. It's been different. I think the in-season tournament played a role in that. I think adding this for a second year played a role in that. But I am excited about seeing these teams that typically are not seeded this low have to truly fight for their spot in the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, and these are not bad teams now. I mean, like, if you look at the look at the West, like the Warriors as a 10 seed, a 10 seed with 46 wins.
And like,
okay. Yeah, right. A 10 seed with 46 wins and Steph Curry. So I wouldn't take them lightly, as opposed to you look at the 9 and 10 seeds in the East, and I'm sorry. Chicago, no. Atlanta, no. Yeah. No. You're not about that. You're not on that same level. But, you know, it's about the Philadelphia and Miami. You know, Philly's won 8 straight games, got Joel Embiid back. He had a little bit of an injury scare yesterday, but they were able to get by that. You got Philly, MVP in the league. Watch out.
I was just going to say, I would argue they're not a 7 seed, to be for real. They're just, they're there because of Joel Embiid missing too much.
That's right. Really good team, a dangerous team. So, speaking of a dangerous team, they're dangerous.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere. This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
They're also in the play-in. Let's talk about a dangerous team that, Tarika, didn't lose a game all season long. There was a parade yesterday. There was a parade in South Carolina honoring the South Carolina Gamecocks, undefeated and untied, as they used to say in football, undefeated and untied, your women's NCAA champions, unexpected champions. They lost, the top 7 players from 2023, came back in 2024. And won the championship. Let's hear some highlights from that parade yesterday in Columbia.
After we planned to be here last year during this time, it wasn't harvest time. It wasn't. And it was a devastating loss to all of us that were a part of it. And I was hurt, deeply. Not to destroy my faith, but I did ask why. I did. And most of us that really understand, we need to know. And we need to know what we need to know. But God sometimes says, I can show you better than I can tell you.
I'll show you. Hey, Tarika, did you see somebody on, I saw this, I wish I could give credit to who, I want to give credit to the proper person, but I saw it on Instagram. Somebody put Dawn Staley's post-game speech to a church organ. Did you see this?
Yes. They sure did, and I was dying because what?
I'm telling you.
You know.
If you ever spent any time in a Baptist church.
You know what it mean when that organ get going. The sermon is the preacher.
You say a phrase, burn it. And okay. Then I thought, burn it. And I said, that Hammond B3, that Hammond B3 organ get going, and then it's shouting time. But
it is shouting time. Yep.
But you said something. I'm interested. Look, we know South Carolina, they answered every question all year long when you're undefeated. Yep. And you got some people from the transfer portal. You got some freshmen, and you got Cardoso, who is going to the WNBA draft. We'll talk about that in a second. And it's going to be one of the top picks in the draft. Look, yeah. You've got the players. You've got the conference. It's a tough conference. You took on the same team that knocked you out last year in the semifinals. You take them on in the final, yeah. And you win that. You really, there are really no questions that are left to answer. However, in your feed, you think South Carolina is not getting all the flowers it deserves. Why not?
Nope, and never have, because it's a team full of black women with a black coach. And that's the bottom line. It's this team was, let me tell you, I had the pleasure of watching this team from the beginning of the season. When I say the beginning, I mean, I was in Paris, France with this team for their first game of the season against Notre Dame. And I could see the concerns that Dawn Staley had at the time. Now, granted, Notre Dame was still finding themselves too. They still had a new freshman point guard in Hannah Hidalgo. They were still trying to figure themselves out without Olivia Miles. So there were two teams totally that were really trying to discover their chemistry and who they were as new teams. But I also understood what Dawn was saying when she was saying they're just a silly bunch of group and like a daycare, right? There were things that they needed to improve on. Their, you know, defensives of assignments, getting stronger on that end. And that sticks out to me the most, because that was one of the things that she continued to say, is that we have got to get better with making sure we minimize the miscommunications on defense. And yet it was Raven Johnson's defense that shut down Caitlin Clark in that final matchup. She talked about how last year these teams, a lot of the criticism came because this was a team that didn't shoot very well. And this year they were one of the top three shooting offenses in the country. And so when you look at how this year was supposed to literally be a rebuilding year, when you look at all five starters being gone because they were drafted, like when you just think about how we just mentioned OKC took 2 years to get together, this was okay. This was Carolina's year to be like, okay. And even I will go so far as to say, Dawn Staley has openly said that when she looked at the challenges that this team could possibly face coming into the season, she considered retiring. Like, listen, I've been 15 years here, 24 years coaching. I think I might be done. I ain't really got no reason. Like, she don't have nothing to prove neither. And yet her faith and her belief in this team allowed her to stay. And the problem with that is that we have seen this year specifically so many people so entrenched in Caitlin Clark, and deservedly so, because she's an amazing player. But I think the story of what South Carolina has done and what they did to get here and how difficult it is hard to be perfect in anything. But it is hard to be perfect in women's basketball with the transfer portal the way that it is, with teams being able to go and players being able to choose and use their leverage to go to wherever they want to go. The parity in women's basketball is there. It exists. So there is no, well, this team can't. Nah, this team can beat you the same way another team can beat you, despite where that team is located or what conference that team is in. So the women's basketball structure is hard. To go perfect in a rebuild year is something that needs to be discussed. And I am disappointed in my media colleagues who have decided to focus on what's popular instead of doing the work to focus on the quality of the story that comes along with celebrating South Carolina.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Now, can't you do both now? Because I think you do have to focus on this wave, this move. It's a movement here. It's something, there's a moment happening that's significant in women's basketball. So I think that definitely has to be covered. But to your point, yes, you also have to talk about South Carolina, because we had, I was talking to Smith about this the other day. We had Dawn Staley on, yeah. Brother from Another. It must have been 2000, maybe it was 21 or 22. We had her on the show. And I just remember her saying, and she was actually, because she's so cool. I mean, first of all, she's just great, as you know. I mean,
it's amazing. She's
great, media savvy, funny. I mean, profound, says things that need to be said, says things that people are thinking and won't say, and then says things that people aren't thinking and should be thinking. All right. So she's operating on multiple levels. But she did say that people look at her as if she just goes and calls these players to South Carolina and rolls the balls out there and they just somehow turn into a good team. She says, as if I can't coach.
Yeah.
I think taking it to the next level, everything you said is spot on. Plus, she's a great coach. How many coaches can do this? Even if she's not undefeated. Undefeated is just, that's the uncommon favorite she's talking about. She's like, oh, I can understand why I left her speechless and in tears. Oh, God, you did this for me? You did this for me? Can you imagine if they had just won a championship and lost three or four games? That in itself would be an amazing coaching job. But they win a championship with this group and they're undefeated.
Yeah.
That's coaching. And
it's coaching. It's coaching. It's coaching talent. It's building, building a community and building a culture of winning. That's why people come to South Carolina. Not only are you coached by one of the best, but you have been, you will be in a culture of winning and a culture of what it means to be successful, not just on the basketball court. But if you look at past players that are currently in the WNBA or even past players that are just simply pouring back into the game in some way from Dawn Staley, you will see they are successful as people. And that's important. And to your point, yes, I do think you absolutely have to cover all aspects of women's basketball. The problem is not so much that folks are overly covering Caitlin Clark. The problem is there isn't not a damn Black player that has ever come out that has gotten the same kind of coverage that a Caitlin Clark has received, that a Sabrina Ionescu received at one time, that a Kelsey Plum received at one time. That's the problem. Not that they don't deserve, but that there are other players who have also been deserved of that kind of attention and have never received it. Asia Wilson is a two-time WNBA champion, a two-time MVP, a national champion, has a statue outside of Columbia, outside of South Carolina in Columbia, and no one has ever created a 96-page magazine spread for her. That's what we're talking about. She has never been offered a shoe deal. That's what we're talking about. She doesn't receive the same kind of treatment that her white counterparts receive. That is what we're talking about. We're not saying decrease the coverage on another player. We're simply saying increase the coverage on Black and brown players who deserve it too.
How do we get there? How do we get there?
Because that's the $1 million question.
Yeah. Because it's $1 million question. And it's probably even, it's a multi-million dollar question, because right now, like tonight, you're going to have the WNBA draft. We know Caitlin Clark is going to be the first pick, if it probably to the Indiana Fever. I'm just anything can happen. Maybe the Sparks move up and take the number, you know, and trade for the number one pick. But it's going to be the Indiana Fever. And I think it's an important moment in the WNBA draft or in the history of the WNBA. And it's a complicated thing, because I have to acknowledge there are people who are, and you know this, Tarika, there are people who are just on board now. There are people who, to them, the WNBA just started. The league that you covered brilliantly last year, you covered it. You did sidelines, you did commentary, you covered this league last year. This is a league that has a history. This league has grown up. This is not a kid league. This league has its own goats. It's got multiple dynasties in the league. The Vegas Aces right now are the current dynasty, but the Houston Comets were the first dynasty in the WNBA. So this league has a history. Caitlin Clark didn't start it, but there are people who are going to be watching this draft tonight. They're going to be looking for Caitlin Clark. They're going to be looking for Angel Reese. They're going to be looking for the names that they were just introduced to the last couple of years. And this is their moment now where they pay attention to the WNBA. So good news. It's mostly good news. You're bringing some new people along, but there's the people who've been here like, excuse me.
Yeah. Like, I mean, 100% the point, 100% the point. It's, and I continue to say this because people are going to misconstrue your words no matter how many times you say it, but I'm going to keep beating it down so that there's no one who can say they're misunderstanding what I'm saying. Caitlin Clark is phenomenal. She deserves to be the number one overall pick. She has helped to elevate what was already a growing sport. Her popularity has helped to bring eyes, bring viewership, bring attention. No, like it is amazing. Along with Angel Reese, along with Malaysia Fulwiley, along with Juju Watkins, who, my God, Juju Watkins is the next star, like the next superstar of women's basketball. And I feel very comfortable in saying that. She's the next superstar of women's basketball. So the way that this sport is growing and the eyes on it, it is phenomenal. But I need y'all to come to the WNBA a little bit more researched. It's cool to be new. Let us help you learn. You can't be new jumping out the gate talking about such and such as the GOAT. Bro, you just got here. You know, like, you just got here. You can't be new talking about players in the WNBA are hating because they're not welcoming with open arms new rookies and new people coming into the league. Please show me where any NBA player in the history of the NBA has ever with open arms welcomed in a rookie. You know how you get welcomed in as a rookie? You drive in the paint. The post player knocks you on your behind and stands over you and says, "Welcome to the league." That's how you're introduced. That doesn't change because it's the NBA or the WNBA. That doesn't change. That's your welcome to the league moment. That is it. And that is all. You can be new to this sport, which is great. But again, take a moment to talk to people who have been in this sport for a while. Observe and go to a game and learn to love the game on a deeper level before involving yourselves in conversations about the game as if you've been a fan or has deeper knowledge of the game longer than you do. It is not the fact that people are hating on new fans. It's that new fans are coming in and they're coming in ignorant and they're saying stuff that don't make no sense. And we just not buying it. That's really what it is. We're just not buying it. You talk about dynasties. We got the Houston Comets. You had the Detroit Shock who won 3 in 5 years, 2 of them back to back. You have the Minnesota Lynx that have dynasty. You have the Seattle Storm that had a dynasty. And now we're watching and witnessing the Las Vegas Aces. This draft has some key players. This draft has some players who I think are going to be impactful at the next level. And this draft has players who have really evolved the viewership and have really evolved the way that we define success in the WNBA and women's basketball in general. And I absolutely love that. But educate yourselves. That's all I'm saying. Educate yourself. Don't come in blind.
And I said, that's right. All right. So like with some humility, and then I'll get this wisdom from you on the way out. Because as I said, you're all over this league. Covered the Connecticut Sun last year. Connecticut Sun almost upset.
Still, I'm still covering the Connecticut Sun. Yep.
That's right. So all over it. Check her out. Tarika Foster Brasby on the WNBA. Really excellent job. I'm serious. Great job on this.
Thank you.
What is the thing, if you're talking to the newbies, so the newbies are coming. Not only the newbies in the league, but you're going to have new eyeballs on the WNBA, and it's great. There are going to be a lot of people following. A lot of them will come for Caitlin. A lot of them will. But then they're going to be introduced to a world like, oh, wait a minute. I thought the college game was fun. Oh, okay. This is something else. They're bringing something else here. What's one thing they should know with humility as they come into this league? What's one thing that they don't know that they should know?
Well, one thing that they should know that they probably don't know is that everyone that's drafted will not necessarily make a roster. And that is unfortunate, but it's simply due to the fact that there are limited spots in the WNBA on teams. There's 144 spots, and not all 144 are up for grabs. So when you come into the WNBA, you are literally coming into a league where you have to earn every minute, every possession, every opportunity that you get. And that's difficult for some fans who have watched their favorite players in college be successful. They've watched them start. They've watched them put in 25 to 30 minutes a game. They've seen them put up 25 to 30 points. And they want to continue to see that at the next level. But you got to have some grace. There is a transition period between the collegiate level and the professional level. And some people make that transition flawlessly, seamlessly. But everybody ain't a Candace Parker. Everybody not coming into the league being rookie of the year and MVP in the same season. Okay. Everybody doesn't get to be in a League of Boston. Everybody doesn't get to be a Ryan Howard, like, you know, Michaela Onyewede. Everybody doesn't get to be these players that come in as rookie of the year and show out and stay that way. Some people need a little bit more of a transition. It depends on where they go. It depends on what the team's needs are. It depends on who's coaching. So have some grace, fans. Understand your favorite player might not be or see the same kind of time that they did in college, but have some grace and have some patience and just enjoy.
Well, I'll tell you this. And before we go, look, you mentioned this. Okay, let's just put it out there. We know the number one pick is going to be Caitlin Clark. Not only will she have eyeballs on her from the stands, they'll be there on the court. There'll be coaches who'll be like, okay.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. Because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere. This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Let's see what she's got. There's going to be some players. I'm like, okay, let's go. Oh, we saw you wave off Raven. You're going to wave me off. Oh, what's up? Okay, how do you think her transition will be to the league in year one?
I think Caitlin's going to be fine. I mean, I really think that Caitlin is going to be fine. Is her numbers going to look exactly the same as they did at Iowa? No. And that is not because of her talent, but just because of the team that she's going to. She's going to Indiana, where they already have an established guard in Kelsey Mitchell. They have two bigs who demand the ball as well between Alyssa Smith and Aaliyah Boston. So the opportunities to shoot the ball as frequently as she did at Iowa will not be the same in Indiana, again, just because of the structure of the team. I think Christy Sides is a good coach. She has a way of resonating with her players. So I think Caitlin will be fine. I think the fans are going to enjoy watching her. But again, the volume that she had in Iowa, she won't see that in Indiana, and she won't see that in the WNBA. And fans will just really need to give her that grace. But I think Caitlin is going to be fine. I don't know if I could say that I could see her as rookie of the year. That's just not in a place that I'm comfortable going just yet. Because I don't know where, like, I think after the draft, when you see where players are going and who will complement what, you can get a better idea of who you think can be very impactful at whatever team they're going to. So I don't want to put that pressure on her at all. But I think I genuinely think Caitlin will be fine. I think she's going to have a tremendous career, but it's going to be a learning curve. As with every other rookie, no matter how great you are, there is a learning curve when you come in the W.
All right. Look, listen, hey, Tarika, we started with the Indianapolis Colts. We end With the Indiana fever. You see how it just happens? And it just happened that way. We didn't plan that. This is just what we do. You know, I didn't tell you I was gonna betray, huh? I just throw you oops. Hey, but listen, Midwest, Indiana, Ohio, Michigan. We'll take it.
We'll take it.
Hey, look, always good to see you. Don't be such a stranger, all right? Don't be a stranger.
Have me on more. I love it. Thanks for so much for having me.
No, great stuff, Tarika. Take care.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, Afoxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus Chews.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.